Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Lutheran Church in Southern Africa is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, and serve as pastor of the Raynham Lutheran Mission, which meets once a month in Raynham, Kent. We'd like to invite you to come along to our worship services, but if you don't live in our area, go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and you'll find the nearest Lutheran church to where you live. Again, I'd like to encourage you to go along and pay them a visit. We'd also like to thank you for your prayers and your financial contributions, which help keep Lutheran Radio on the air. And I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of our new apps. They're free to download, so you can take us with you wherever you go. Go to the Windows Store, the App Store, or Google Play and download them today. We're very pleased to welcome to Lutheran Radio UK today the Bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, Madiso Marcello. Bishop, it's lovely to have you with us, and we welcome you. Could you please tell us a little bit about the church you serve, the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa?
It began here in Emmersberg with Louis Hans and sending some missionaries down south, and they went through the Natal area. And our church started as Hanoverian Lutheran Free Church. It came from, yes, Hanover. And for some time it was led by missionaries up until 1968, if I'm not wrong.
So what year did Louis Harms send out missionaries to South Africa?
Around 1800s, and that went through and up until when it has its own constitution, and that was around the 60s. So it from there it was now called the LCSA, Lutheran Church in Southern Africa.
How many congregations are in the LSA, and how many pastors and members do you have?
We are estimating around 20,000, but really that is an estimation. If you look today at what is happening, though, we cannot be talking 20,000. And the challenge is now for me as a newly elected bishop to really get into our statistics so that we know exactly how many members do we have. As far as parishes and congregations, we are running at around 55, and we have 47 pastors. Some are retired pastors, but they still help here and there.
And these congregations are scattered throughout Southern Africa?
Not really throughout South Africa, but I call it a strip. We are operating from Botswana through South Africa into Swaziland, right? Mm-hmm. So Botswana is a sovereign country. Swaziland is a sovereign country too. And then, of course, South Africa. The head office is in South Africa, or will be in South Africa. Of course, where the bishop is, that's where the office is. Mm-hmm. The seat of the bishop is, or of the church. It's divided into five dioceses, or maybe five districts, but we call them dioceses. Mm-hmm. So we've got Botswana, we've got Northwest in South Africa, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, right? These are five. Now, Swaziland falls under under Mpumalanga. And, you know, we are trying to get some new men down in Swaziland, so that we start a ministry there. We've got one church, one congregation with one young man. He's still under training, but we would like to train as many as we can so that we have Swaziland as a diocese.
So could you help us get some perspective? How many kilometers are we talking about?
We could be talking 1,000 from one point to the next, from Botswana through to South Africa into Swaziland. But I would estimate something like that. And maybe from north-south, 500 or so, 700.
So quite a big piece of land that your church body covers.
There's quite some work there.
Can we hear a little bit about your story? How did you become a Lutheran? A Lutheran pastor and eventually the bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa. Were you born into a Lutheran family?
My grandparents were Lutheran. My direct grandparent, my father, was a pastor. So I grew up in a Christian family. My father was a leader in the church, a lay preacher. So I grew up very Lutheran. And of course, I was a teacher before I went. I did not want to be a pastor at all. My father did not also want me to be a pastor, so I went for teaching. And he wanted me to become a policeman. And yeah, policeman at that time, it was not a good idea. You would be killed or something like that. And outspoken people like us now, we would be in serious trouble. So I didn't go for that training. I went rather after I was not so happy with the teaching profession. I went for the seminary. So I was trained in a seminary and came back to become a pastor. And I started my ministry in Botswana. And I worked for some time there, something like 15 years. I started in Botswana 1995. Yeah, came back to South Africa and I was elected in many leadership positions of the church. My last was, I was the dean, like a superintendent of Botswana, and I also served as a deputy to the bishop of the church. And I was then elected as the bishop December last year.
You've talked a bit about the structure of your church body. You have districts, and each district is headed by a dean, and overseeing the deans is the bishop. Is that right?
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the congregations in your church body. What do they do in the communities where God has placed them? What would be the typical work of a pastor in your church as they do their duties from Sunday to Sunday?
Yeah, a lot of what our pastors are doing is taking care of the congregation, right? The spiritual aspect of the congregation, counseling and stuff. That is the normal things that we expect a pastor to do. But over and above that, a pastor also works with the community. Now, members that are not our members. And we have some, problems like AIDS. Now, recently, it was xenophobia. And things like that, and you have a pastor working on trying to see how to help. Maybe they will come up with something like feeding the people, help the orphans. Some here and there do come up to a point of having a orphanage, taking care of these street kids and stuff like that. So we don't have just one yardstick to say every pastor does that. Each and every pastor looks at what is needed in his community and tries to address that.
We've talked a lot about pastors, and you talked about how you became a pastor. So can you tell us about how someone might become a pastor in the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa? Do you have a seminary?
We do have a seminary, but I would not call that our seminary because really I don't feel like we own it. It is an idea that we had, but we will have to follow up on that to see really what is happening there. And even what is the training, right? Does that training that is offered in the seminary really addresses our issues or the church issues? I personally would like to follow that up a little bit and see what is the seminary offering and what is it that we would like to see. We do not sort of make young men to become pastors from the beginning. They decide at a certain time that I would like to become a pastor and they would apply. So we do not have a structure that says from as early as primary school, this man can, in our culture, that's how we do things, but influenced with European life, that has changed a little bit, so everyone chooses whatever he likes. But in Setswana, we would say, what does that mean? A young person will be seen by the way he acts, the way he does things, that this will be this kind of a person when he's a grown-up person. But as I said, we have lost that. Yes, that gives us a problem, because now you do not know what you're going to do with a certain young man. So they only decide at after they finish their matric that now I would like to become a pastor. And of course, when they would like to become a pastor, that's when we get interested now. And try to get them in the system of the church and how the church operates, like being in the leader, not the leadership, but maybe the spiritual leadership, where he would show as a youth whether he is, you know, interested in doing youth work, and grow up maybe to become a lay preacher or maybe lead the service, or, you know, that kind of interest. And then I have now introduced something like this young man to be to be interviewed and asked questions that will make them think in a Christian manner, in a Christian leadership way, kind of, and so that when he gets to the seminary, he should not be surprised. And should know what is it that needs to come out of him.
You mentioned lay preachers. So do you also have evangelists? And can you tell us how they work in your church body?
The ones that we call deacons, they have a little bit of a well-structured training, because they are being ordained as local pastors. But we have many who they are preachers, and those are the people, in fact, who are holding our church tight and firm, because those are the ones who are doing the work.
Do they also have jobs outside the church?
Yeah, even with the deacons, they are people who have, you know, work somewhere.
Are your ordained pastors full-time workers, or do they also have to have jobs outside of the churches they serve in order to have enough money to make ends meet?
They are fully paid like professionals, but since we are not in a position to really give them a living wage, most of them are trying to get some jobs outside. It does not work for the church, because now he splits the interest. But, I mean, there's not much we can do. If he finds something better, they necessarily do not leave the church. They do work outside, but also serve in the church.
What then would you say makes the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa stand out from all the other churches, like Anglicans or Roman Catholics, in Southern Africa? Why should someone in Botswana come and worship at one of your congregations?
Yes, as we call ourselves confessional, that is the major thing. And even that kind of a question, that's a very good question, because I sometimes ask them that question. What made you come to our church? What made you become a Lutheran? Why wouldn't you want to become a Catholic and stuff? Many do not know. They can't answer that. Look at you and say, hey, but I like it. But I do like to be here more than in another church. But that's because of what Martin Luther said. If we are doing something wrong, or if anyone says we are doing something wrong, let that particular person prove by the proofs from the Bible. That is our strength. To say what we teach comes from the Bible. What we talk, when we talk confessions, that is the explanation of what the Bible teaches. So what we do is really let the Bible explain the Bible.
And do you have a lot of translation work going on?
There is a lot of translation, but we do not write. Mm-hmm. I have to confess, we do not write in our own language, right? And we do not use a lot of written material. So our members depends on their pastors. The pastors are the people who do have material for them. But of course, There is here and there some translation that is going on, but mainly we really like to have some short booklets that will explain a certain issue.
You also mentioned some of the mercy work you do in caring for those who have AIDS or for founding orphanages. Are there any other works of mercy that the LSA is doing?
As I say, the pastor in his particular area would look at the need of the community and try to address that. And of course, try to make even the church aware that there is this kind of need, and that's when we will work around it. But now that was the casual way of doing it. But we are coming up with a strategy, a way of organizing this kind of things, so that we like for my office, I have a plan. And from my plan, this will inform the plan of the dean. Mm-hmm. Plan of the dean will inform that one of the pastors. So from top down and down up, we will have this one common understanding mm-hmm. on how do we operate.
Everyone is aware of apartheid and the difficulties it caused for so many people in South Africa. How are things in South Africa now? And how are you working with people who are probably still very deeply affected and troubled by the remnants of this? How does the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa fit in with the community and try and help them with their healing and forgiveness and understanding, yet in bringing justice and also comfort with God's Word?
The apartheid has killed people mentally and otherwise. You know, what I'm trying to do is to try to help our people open up, to start to think for themselves. You will realize that we had this kind of apartheid where people were taught not to think. Even the system of education taught people not to do things for themselves, by themselves, for the other people. And as work and working for other people. Do that, yes, but do it also for the other people. Now, that's what we are trying to do first, to change the mindset, the paradigm shift of our members. Because I see that as a very big problem. If we can go on in the very old state of our people's mind, then we are not going to be able to do a lot. Because they are still going to depend on others to have things done for them and stuff. And they're not going to be able to do things for themselves or by themselves and believe in that they can do something for another person. Now, that goes also with the gospel itself. Because it's not enough just to talk about Jesus, 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 when you really do not understand who is Jesus for you personally. So if you have that, not as something that is instilled in you, just thrown into you and you accepted it because it came brought by a white person and accept it, right? When you really believe that with confidence, with understanding, accepting it for yourself, and then it will be easier for you to share it with another person. Now, that's the problem is they our members do not do that. They do not share. They look at it as the pastor's work, and they are not part of it. And that's because, exactly for that, because they know someone has to do it. And there's someone like a pastor who has to do it, but they do not feel like it is our responsibility as Christians to share the gospel with others.
I can relate to that. It's a problem I see as well. So how can we help our people understand that it is everyone's privilege? It's not that we have to tell others about Jesus, but it's that we get to do so. So how can we get everyone excited about telling others who this Jesus is?
And you have to be very happy to have that opportunity to do it, right? So that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to help our members to get it, to understand it, right? I started that, doing that with the church leadership, people around me, people in my office, right? The church council, talk to them about it, show it to them, and it was a blow. It was a mind-blowing thing to them to say, but we've never heard something like this. Can this happen really? So, yes, that's the situation. But now we as the leadership has to think outside the box first. Because if we cannot do it, we are not going to be able to lead these people to greener pastures. Now, if we as the leadership can do it, then we help. For now, this year, I declared this year in our church as information sharing and information gathering. We share the state of the church, the state of our people, and what can the church do. And as I said, try to change to deal with the paradigm shift so that our members are on board. And I believe God will do the rest. That will be the beginning.
There are some who might say Lutheranism comes from Germany, and it did with the founding of your church body. But how can something that comes from Europe fit into Africa? Others say that it shouldn't even happen. So how do Africans take to the Lutheran teachings, to liturgy, and even to Luther himself? How do these things translate into 21st century African culture?
We've got these Germans who are in Germany. Let's call them original Germans, mm-hmm. because they are there, they are home. They are not influenced by anything. They are just there and original. And then we've got another group of Germans that comes as missionaries. And I call that Adiophora. I call that group Adiophora. And there is the ones that are in the diaspora. Those who are in the diaspora, those who are in South Africa, are just completely different from the missionaries, and who are also different from the original ones. Now, your question. This is European. And is it true that the gospel is European? We cannot say that. That is really not true. But that's what the people have in mind. And they look at this European who came with this gospel, and look at him as who is this person? What kind of a person is he? How does he behave? What he says, can I really take this and live with? And the person says no. Because why would I live with this person who cannot live openly with me, but wants me to believe something that he comes to me with? And that's why I say it is important to detach from that, so that the people know the truth. They do not mix things up, the culture, the German culture and stuff like that, with the gospel. God must be God. Germans must be Germans. The culture, it's not a matter of doing what differentiating or hate inside the whole thing. It's just reality. We have to help our people look at the person and make a difference with the person's language, culture, and belief or faith. Those are two different things. But when you do that with understanding, it becomes much easier. Then you know what is it you are doing. You don't just do it because this person wants you to do it or teaches you to do it, but you really do not do it from the heart. Main thing is for the heart to be touched by the gospel. And this person owns the gospel and can go with the gospel himself as a Motswana, from a Motswana perspective. And tell people about Jesus from that perspective. The other group that we are working in two groups now, in African groups, South African groups, the Setswana and the Zulus. That's where we operate. So, you know, they must come up as a Muzulu or a Motswana and do the gospel, evangelize and stuff like that.
But the Word of God speaks to people from whatever culture they come from, as we're all sinners who need a Savior.
Hallelujah.
As you are the new bishop of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, and you look forward, what do you think the biggest challenges to your church body are? And what do you think the greatest opportunities facing the LSA are?
You know, as we've been speaking about apartheid and how apartheid affected people, right? That is a challenge on its own. Because people have this kind of dependency syndrome. But the opportunity there is people are changing. The dispensation, the new dispensation in the country has come with new things and new developments, and people do have training and they become better people, and that on its own is an opportunity. Like now, I would like to meet the skilled people of our members, the professionals, teachers, and business people, and share the state of our church, so that they see what is it, how can they also contribute, how can they be part of it, so that it's not only, you know, a thing of the bishop with the church council there. Decisions do come and the religion are not part of it. So we would like them to come on board, and then we do this together.
May I ask you please to give our listeners a word of encouragement and support? We know that you are facing many challenges in the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, but could you please give some encouragement to our listeners who also might be facing some very difficult times in their lives?
You know, I would come straight to Romans. Is it Romans 8, I believe? If God is on our side, who can stand against us? So God is with us, and he wants us to be able to accomplish things, to be able to be successful in whatever we do and in our spiritual life. We don't have to fear anything, because everything with him is so possible. Nothing is impossible with God. So if we put our hearts in him, and then he works through us, and then we are able to be happy and do things confidently.
Bishop Marichello, we would like to thank you for being our guest on Lutheran Radio UK, and we pray God's richest blessings upon you, upon the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, and upon all of her saints. And may God continue to bless the work that is being done there by your church body, in his name and through his power. Please extend our greeting to all the brothers and sisters in Christ there, and we pray that God would continue to grant you strength and wisdom in your work.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.